The reading is from 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, continuing to on to chapter 5, verse 10, and can be found on page 1160. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore we are always confident, and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Val, thank you so much for reading that so clearly for us. And everybody, do keep that in front of you there on page 1160. We're continuing this morning our explorations in this great book of 2 Corinthians. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us in the scriptures. Please give us ears to hear your message and hearts to take it in and to be shaped and transformed by the truth that is in Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we're thinking this morning about our perspective in life, about what we focus on, about what we fix our eyes on. Is it things which are temporary that we can see, or do we have an eternal perspective? You see, our perspective, what we focus on, makes a huge difference to how we live our lives. A few years ago, the BBC made a documentary about the Olympic rower, Catherine Granger. And they showed her waking up before dawn in February, not on a lovely morning like this, a horrible, dark, wet, cold February morning. And they showed her scraping the ice from the windscreen of her car and shivering in her coat as she got ready to go training. And the interviewer asked her, "What on earth makes you do this?" And Catherine Granger replied with two words: the podium. She was focusing on 4 years in the future and receiving that gold medal on the Olympic podium. That was her perspective, and it shaped her life, giving her the enthusiasm, the endurance, the perseverance for her training routine. And as you may know, she went on to be one of the most successful Olympic athletes we've ever had. Now, we may not be Olympic rowers, but we all have a perspective. and all of our lives are shaped by what we are focusing on. In this letter of 2 Corinthians, Paul has been writing about authentic Christianity. And so far we've used this image that I think we can have, the image of the treasure in jar of clay, to sum up what this letter is teaching us. The authentic Christian has inside them the treasure of the gospel of Jesus. We know that through Jesus we are right with God and being transformed day by day to be more like him. We have this treasure within us. But the authentic Christian also knows that we're jars of clay, weak pots, weak, flawed and fragile people. And now today in this passage we see that the authentic Christian has an eternal perspective. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on an unseen eternity. Now it's not easy to have this perspective. It is the easiest thing in the world to focus on the here and now. And so we're going to see this morning just two things really. The Christian's perspective and the difference that it makes. So first of all, the Christian's perspective. We have an eternal home ahead of us. We have an eternal home ahead of us. Let's have a look at chapter 5, verse 1. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. This is not the first time that Paul has written to the Corinthians about their eternal future. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he gives a whole chapter about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, which guarantees the resurrection of all who are joined to him by faith. In that chapter, Paul is saying, God has raised Jesus with a transformed resurrection body. If we are trusting in him, when Jesus comes again, God will raise us with transformed resurrection bodies. Actually, just before our passage in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14, Paul reminds his readers of this truth. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. And then now in chapter 5, verse 1, he gives us more information about this resurrection future, this resurrection body. He says that this body we live in is an earthly tent, but a body to come is an eternal house kept for us in heaven and built by God. Now, some dear friends of mine went camping a few years ago, and they came back from their week's holiday 3 days early, and I could see straight away that they didn't want to talk about it. But being a nosy fellow, I inquired, and I got to the bottom of it. They'd been in a campsite right on the coast in Wales. Day after day it had rained, the water had flowed through the tent, everything had been soaked, and then one night in a gale the tent blew down. And the wife said, "That's it, we're going home." How delighted they were to go from the tent to the house. Christians, that's what it will be like for us entering our resurrection bodies, from the tent of this body to the house of our eternal future. These bodies are like tents. They're fragile. They're temporary. We know that as we get older, our tents stop working as they should. We're more aware these days, not just of physical health, but of mental health. We know that in these tents, often we can't think and feel as we would like to. These bodies we live in are fragile tents. But the body ahead of us is an eternal house built by God. This body is perishable. That one will be imperishable. This body is weak. Our resurrection bodies will be powerful. This body is dishonorable. That means it's subject to sin. That body will be glorious, made to please the Lord Jesus. So often we think that this life is what's real and eternity is somehow ephemeral, insubstantial. God's word is telling us it's the exact other way round. This body is a tent. The eternal body is a house. The Christian has an eternal home ahead of us. And so verses 2 to 4, we long for it. Verse 2, meanwhile we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, Paul is realistic about this life. He says, while we're in this tent, we groan and we're burdened. We know that we face illness, mental illness, suffering, persecution, disappointment. And so we long, as Christians, for our eternal homes. I don't know if you've ever seen a hungry child waiting for their meal to be cooked. They groan. How long will it be? Their stomach's in knots. They hop from foot to foot waiting for it to be served. Christians, that's how we should feel about our heavenly home. We long to be there. These past few weeks, I've been privileged to speak to a few people in our church family about this, and person after person has said, we love knowing Jesus now, but we long to be with him. We long to have our resurrection body. Now, of course, we don't look forward to the process of dying. That can be terribly grim. We don't look forward to parting from loved ones here, but we do long for our resurrection body, our eternal home, and being with the Lord. And the reason we can long for it is that it is guaranteed by God. You see, the Christian confidence for eternity is not just speculation or wishful thinking. Did you notice the word Paul uses near the start of verse 1? Verse 1, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. How do we know? We know because of the resurrection of Jesus in history. God has raised the Lord Jesus, and so we know that he will raise all who belong to him. And there's a further guarantee in verse 5. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now when you're selling a house, I think it's when you get the deposit from the person buying the house that you start to feel confident that yes, the sale really is going to go through. So that deposit, it's the first part of the payment, and it guarantees that the rest of the payment is going to come. Well, Paul says that the Holy Spirit is a deposit from God. The Holy Spirit is the first part of the life of eternity put within us when we trust in Jesus. And his presence guarantees that the rest of eternal life will come. Now, if a human deposit makes us feel confident, how much more confident should we feel as those who have received God's deposit, his Holy Spirit, guaranteeing the life of eternity? More certain than us living to this evening, more certain than the sun coming up tomorrow morning, is that those who trust in Jesus will be clothed with our heavenly homes, our resurrection bodies. And it is only Jesus Christ who can give us this confidence for the future. Without Jesus, we can't have this confidence. After all, only Jesus died for our sins. Only he could make us ready to meet God in the first place. Only Jesus rose again, defeating death. That's why it's so vital that we come to know him and to trust in him. And it's why it's so wonderful when we do. Because Jesus Christ gives us this eternal home. This is the Christian's perspective. For those who know Christ and trust in him, we have a heavenly home ahead of us guaranteed by God. And so the perspective God wants us to have is to long for it, fixing our eyes not on the things of this world, but on what is eternal. Now, if we have this perspective, it shapes how we live. An eternal perspective, far from taking us out of this world, actually makes us far more able to cope with the challenges of this life. So we've seen the Christian's perspective. Let's see now the difference that it makes. And in verses 6 to 10, Paul puts his finger on two ways that this eternal perspective changes us. And the first is that we are always confident. Let's have a look at verses 6 to 8. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I find my confidence goes up and down hugely. It depends on how well I've slept the night before. It depends on what the weather is doing. It can even depend on what I've had for breakfast. But in these chapters, chapter 4 and 5, Paul has shown a steady confidence, not in himself, but in God. So back in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he was confident of God's goodness to him, even when he was hard-pressed on every side. How did he have that confidence? Eternal perspective. He knew that God was bringing him to his heavenly home. Verse 13, Paul is confident to speak about Jesus, even when he was ignored, ridiculed, or rejected. How did he have that confidence? Eternal perspective. He knew that only Christ brings people safely to eternity, so he kept speaking of him. And now here in chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, he's confident even in the face of his own mortality. He says he would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. How does he have this confidence? Well, verse 7, because he lives by faith, not by sight. His focus is on God's promised eternity, not this world that he can see. Now, it is a very precious thing to have confidence in the face of our own mortality. Just over 10 years ago now, a dear colleague of mine was diagnosed with inoperable cancer in the prime of his life. And before he died, this colleague, Mark, wrote this little book, On My Way to Heaven, about his eternal perspective. I've got a few copies of this. If you'd like to read it, ask me later and I can give you one. But in his little book, On My Way to Heaven, Mark explains the conversation he had with that surgeon when the surgeon explained that there was nothing really they could do. And Mark said to the surgeon, as a Christian, I hear this news as a call to go home. And he said, this is not the end, but the beginning. And he said, ever since I started following Christ, I have been looking forward to going home to be with him. And Mark writes that he saw an imaginary speech bubble appear over the head of the surgeon saying, this man is in total denial. But you know, he wasn't in denial. He had an eternal perspective. Don't misunderstand what he was saying, that the process of dying wasn't good, it was grim. But the destination to be at home with the Lord, well, that was to go home. Now, it's tempting to think that people like the Apostle Paul, like that man Mark, had this confidence because they were superhumans, or because they had a stoical character, or because they ate six Weetabix for breakfast, or something like that. But no, they were weak jars of clay just like we are. What made the difference is that they had an eternal perspective. When we fix our eyes on eternity, it helps us to be confident of God's goodness when we're hard-pressed. When we fix our eyes on eternity, it helps us to be confident to speak of Jesus and confident even in the face of death. That's the first part of the difference it makes. It makes us confident in God. There's a second difference an eternal perspective makes in our lives. It means we're always confident, but verses 9 and 10... it also means that we make it our goal to please the Lord. Let's look at verse 9 and 10. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now we need to think carefully about these verses to understand them. Paul says in verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Believers and non-believers alike will stand before the throne of Jesus. Now, the Christian believer knows that they will not be condemned on that day. We know that Jesus died for our sin. He has borne the condemnation we deserve. Trusting in Jesus, we know that we're saved and heading for glory. So the Christian believer will stand before the throne of Jesus not to find out whether we're saved or not. We know that we are. No, we will stand before him for Jesus' loving assessment of our lives. his loving evaluation of how we have lived for him. And you know, Jesus will commend and reward believers to various degrees, depending on how we have lived for him in the body. Scripture doesn't tell us exactly what these eternal rewards will be. I think that's quite deliberate. But it does mean that we will never miss out by obeying Jesus, whatever the cost in this life. Because we will stand before his throne for his loving assessment of our lives. And so we make it our goal to please him. I'm trying to think of an analogy for this. And I don't think it's perfect, but the closest I got is this. Imagine a father who sends his son off to study in a far-off country. And the father makes big sacrifices to pay for the tuition. And before the son goes, the father says to his boy, "Look, when you come back at the end of the year, we'll sit down together and I'd love to hear about how you've got on in your year's study." Now that son loves his father. The father loves the son. And the son wants to give his father a good report. It's not that his place in the family is at stake. No, that's secure. But he doesn't want to have to say to his dad, "Look, truth be told, I spent every morning lounging in bed and every afternoon messing around." He doesn't want to see his father disappointed. No, he longs to be able to say to his dad, "I've learned this. I've experienced these things. I've made these friends." He longs for the father to say to him, "Well done, son. You made the most of that opportunity." Now, Christians, we're in a similar position. We will stand before the throne of Jesus. Not our place in the family that's at stake. No, because Jesus died for our sin, we know that we will be saved. But it doesn't make us lazy. It doesn't make us casual about how we live. Because we long to hear Jesus say, "Well done. You made the most of that opportunity." See, on that day, Jesus will examine how we battled sin. He will know how we worked to know him and to become like him. He will know how we served him with our time, with our opportunities, our relationships. He'll know how we strive to make him known to others. Now, of course, all of us are flawed in those areas. But what we long for is for Jesus to see progress in our lives when we stand before him. Since we know that we have this appointment before the throne of Jesus, we make it our goal to please him in this life. Now, Catherine Granger, that rower, had her future perspective on the podium, and it changed how she lived. Our future perspective is even bigger than that. We focus on eternity, and it changes us too. It gives us confidence in God's goodness, and it causes us to make it our goal to please the Lord. So let me ask as we conclude, what is your perspective? What are you focusing on in life? We read in chapter 4, verse 18, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." It's the easiest thing in the world to fix our eyes on the things of this life. Pressures, concerns, problems, they shout to us, they grab our attention, they call, "Fix your eyes on me." Well, we need to address those things. But don't focus on them. They're temporary. We have an eternal home. You know, the pleasures of this life, they call out to us as well. Holidays, houses, jobs, cars, retirement. They call to us, "Make me your hope, make me your dream." But don't fix your eyes on those. They are temporary. Instead, let's say to ourselves every day, this world with its pains, with its pleasures, is passing away. But I have an eternal home with Jesus, guaranteed to me by God. That is where I long to be. Now that perspective will give you growing confidence in God's goodness to you, confidence to speak of Jesus, and confidence in the face of death. And we can say to ourselves as well, I have an appointment to stand before Jesus, my Saviour, and he will assess my life. I long to hear his "well done," and so I make it his goal to please me, to please him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and worship you for the eternity that you have set before us. Only the Lord Jesus can give us this. He died for us, he rose again. We praise you that trusting in him, we have an eternal home ahead of us. Help us to fix our eyes not on the challenges, the joys of this life, but on that guaranteed eternity to come. And as we do that, we pray that we would indeed find our confidence in your goodness grows, and our care and commitment in living our lives to please you. Amen.